I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
Oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
Oh my God, another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion. My God, it's right in the middle of the building.
Black smoke has been pouring out of huge holes in the upper portions of the building.
Oh my word. Oh my word. I'm sorry, I screamed. That's on purpose, Alfred. Somebody is doing this on purpose.
They were doing it on purpose, but of course at that moment we weren't sure what was happening when the first plane hit the World Trade Center, the North Tower. Then when the second plane hit, we knew we were under attack. And, of course, we also had the Pentagon targeted. And then the plane that went down to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, only because some of the passengers decided to try to take control of the plane. They'd already heard by phone from friends or relatives, planes are being hijacked. If you're not going where you think you're going, you might be a victim. And they realized they were, in fact. And between a battle in the cabin, whatever happened, we'll never know in full detail. But the hijackers did not make it to their intended target, which was certainly believed to be D.C., perhaps the Capitol, perhaps the White House. I could not start today's report without starting with 9/11. I just couldn't do it. I know there are more current things on our plate right now, but I fear every passing year folks are going to forget and kind of push 9/11 aside. I refuse to do so. This is the modern day Pearl Harbor. And I do know that those of us born long after Pearl Harbor, or maybe within 5-10 years of it, we were not caught up in all the emotion, everything that took place on that date. And it's been kept alive, but gradually lessened. And fewer memorials and fewer statements about it. And, of course, fewer survivors simply because of age, if nothing else. Here we are, September 11, 9/11, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back to back right here on this channel for you, reminding you that when we're on the air, we are putting up a stream from the studio. You can see it at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, or Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or on Rumble. And if you miss any of them, either the audio or the video, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull them up as podcast, visual, or audio, and you can share them. Again, I see more and more of you sharing them with your friends, your relatives. I thank you for spreading the word. And share them with your enemies sometimes if you want them to maybe get a better perspective on things. I was having a discussion with a friend the other day, as a matter of fact, and we're on opposite sides of the political fence. We're not widely apart, but we're still apart. And we were both reminiscing of the time when Ronald Reagan was president. And I did have a chance to interview him and sit in at a luncheon where he spoke, and talked to him directly about the time he had been with the Democrats and even helped form the first Actors Green Union. And then he later became a Republican. But his chief opponent at that time was Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill, Democrat. And they went after each other, but at the same time they could do it in a civil fashion. And then they could sit down and have coffee or dinner together. Boy, you don't see many of that situations, many of those happening nowadays, do you? I hope if you have a friend a relative who does not agree exactly with you, don't disown them, and don't. Hopefully they won't disown you. And if it's too tense for you to have a conversation about politics and their issues and your belief either in Trump or Biden or anyone else or any political issue, if you just can't have a civil discourse over it, and I know some of you are going to say, well, it's not my fault, it's their fault. There you go again. And it is true that there are some you cannot reason with. They're not going to deal with the facts. And many people on both sides, when it's not going their way, they're going to start making stuff up or just getting angry and boiling. We need to go back to a little bit more civility. And I know I've heard, and in fact, my friend the other day said, well, you know, a lot of it has to do with Trump. And he saw me, and he said, you don't think so? I said, if you want to put the blame there, it's your opinion. And see, that's the other thing to keep in mind. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. It's their right. It's their opinion. I can't tell you what your opinion is. You're the one who decides your opinion. But I would hope that we could move past some of this. And, of course, it's not just Trump in the news now. It's also Joe Biden and his ability or inability, and also the scandal surrounding the Biden administration. A lot of it has to do with Hunter. There have been reactions and a New York Times piece pointing out that staffers inside the White House, they're saying that he's basically creating, he's talking about President Biden, creating some of his issues because he has Hunter with him so many times and taking him on some of those flights when he was vice president and even on some flights now. And having him on the portico of the White House during July 4th watching fireworks, basically saying you're creating unforced errors. And that apparently, according again to the insiders, talking to the New York Times, President Biden himself has become a little bit more, I can't recall the exact term they used. I didn't have it here in front of me, and I'm trying not to misquote it. But he's maybe a little more distant than maybe even wants to be, but realizing he needs to be. And again, I'm not trying to look into his mind. That's between him. But it's a father and son. Above everything else that's involved, it's still a father and a son. But I want to take you to Florida Congressman Byron Donalds the other day and really pushing, saying, we need answers. He's talking about everything the IRS uncovered, the IRS whistleblowers, and what the House Oversight Committee has under Congressman Comer. And he said, we want answers. And here's the way he phrased it.
I think it is the view of members on this committee, and frankly, a lot of Americans at this point, that there are elements at the Department of Justice who did not want this information out, who did not want to go down the line of process of actually going through the evidence gathering process to see the depths to which this international pay-for-play scheme was that was actually happening around Joe Biden, going through Hunter Biden, and all the money that the Biden family was incurring. So we have two separate investigations. One done by the investigative branch of the IRS that is charged with doing these types of investigations. These are the people you want doing them. And an independent investigation by the Oversight Committee. And we're coming up with the same amount of money, give or take a couple million, going through the same person in Hunter Biden. And his investigation is slow walked. And we're supposed to sit here and think that Joe Biden knows nothing? Because if this action is allowed to occur, and investigations are slow walk with this level of detail, this ain't Donald Trump, y'all. These are facts.
They are facts, and speaking as colloquially as he did, this isn't Donald Trump, y'all. These are the facts, the numbers. Now, even those who are anti-Trump, you got to accept the numbers that are appearing on bank statements and everything else. Well, I guess you don't have to. But if you're really trying to have a coherent and an intelligent discussion, you can't ignore true facts. We're not talking about somebody saying they've got facts and they've got a witness and you don't see the facts, you don't hear the witness, as we saw with Adam Schiff in the Trump inquiry and impeachments. These are there. They're present. And they've been presented. Of course, Joe Biden did not go to New York City for today's memorial, and I'll get more to that later, nor even D.C., the Pentagon, nor Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the plane went down. Again, we'll get to that a little bit later, but he was completing a trip to Vietnam, Hanoi, which borders China. And he made some remarks on China. He said, "We're not looking to hurt China sincerely." His words, "We're not looking to hurt China sincerely. We'll all be better off if China does well." I'm not sure too many agree with that. I've got an expert coming up, but I am going to ask him on that point. And he did say near the end of his press conference, he made a remark that, "Look, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to bed." And they continued to shout questions, and I'm done. I took questions and already varied from what the staff gave me, and I'm going to bed. Didn't repeat it a second time, but they had already stated it. But again, he is not observing 9/11 in New York City, the Pentagon, or the National Memorial, where United Flight 93 crashed. He's in Anchorage, Alaska, at the command headquarters there, and an honor ceremony. But this is the first time a president has been at one of the sites where the incidents actually took place. And he's taking heat for it. Do you think that's justifiable? Personally, I think he should have been at one of them. Everyone old enough to remember that date, remembers where they were. There was understandable confusion at air traffic reporters as they were, controllers as they were tracking the flights, because they were not flying their assigned routes.
Hey, can you look out your window right now?
Yeah.
Can you see God about 4,000 feet, about 5 east of your airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, I see him.
Do you see God? Look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation. What kind of airplane is that? Can you guys tell?
I don't know. I'll read it out in a minute. Another one just hit the building.
Wow.
Another one just hit the World Trade. The whole building just came apart.
Oh, holy smokes.
That is one of the flights that hit the World Trade Center. A second one. United Flight 175. And then there were other calls and concerns of what was happening with the air traffic controllers.
We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York. And we need you guys to, we need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise, not a test.
A lot of smoke in lower Manhattan.
Another one just hit the building.
Wow. Another one just hit the World Trade.
The whole building just came apart.
Minnesota Star, I have an active air defense scramble, F-15s climbing to flight level 2900.
All aircraft on the ground for a national emergency.
The region commander has declared that we can shoot down aircraft that do not respond to our direction. Copy that? You read that from the vice president, right? Vice president has cleared.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
That would have been the Shanksville, Pennsylvania flight. One of the flight attendants on United Flight or American Flight 11, Betty Ong, called in and was routed to a call center, and they were in turn relaying what she knew about the attack on board.
American Airlines emergency line, please state your emergency.
Hey, this is Nitty at American Airlines calling. I am monitoring a call in which Flight 11, the flight attendant is advising our reps that the pilot, everyone's been stabbed.
The moment terrorists took over the flight deck, Betty Ong picked up the airphone and dialed American Airlines reservations. Her call was routed to the Raleigh, North Carolina call center. Her calm voice described what was happening on board that plane.
Okay, my name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11. Our number 1 has been stabbed and our 5 has been stabbed. Can anybody get up to the cockpit?
She passed all the information along, and then they knew the plane was hijacked.
Hi, Joe Cooper, Boston Center. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards the New York metro area. A He is a 767 departed Boston going to LAX.
From her jump seat in the back of the plane, Betty Ong relayed invaluable information about the men who strong-armed their way onto the flight deck after murdering two flight attendants.
That was part of a news report, of course, and talking about the two flight attendants that had been killed. She knew they were dead, and she knew somebody was in charge of the plane, not the pilots. And yet she was very calm in trying to relay the information, and another flight attendant was doing her best to do the same, calling the information in. And, of course, it's impossible for us to imagine what was going through the minds of the passengers as they're watching this unfold. And they were all told, and their transcripts, and we've had recordings, I'm not bothering to play it, but one of the hijackers was identifying himself and saying, "We're in control, everybody stay seated, don't do anything, you might injure yourself or the plane, we have a bomb on board." They didn't have a bomb, but they'd been trained in Florida to learn how to fly. That all came out later. And the interesting thing is, when they were being taught, you know, take off, how to fly, when it came to landing, they had indifference to learn about landing, because they had no intention to land. And, of course, inside the World Trade Centers, when the first one got hit, maybe some inside saw the plane coming at the last second on the same floor where it hit, or maybe above or below they were watching it. There were people on the ground. There was a French crew that was following the fire crew, the local fire department post that district around that day, just doing a story. And you could hear the jet roar overhead, and they panned up and saw it as it hit. Those in the second tower were watching what had happened. And one of the men that worked there called his wife twice, got through once, and then called her a second time.
He called me at 9:22 a.m., and he said, "You need to listen carefully, sweetie." He says, "I've gone up to the rooftop, and the rooftop doors are locked." He said, "There's several of us. We're on the 87th floor, and we're trapped, and it's getting difficult to breathe. And I could hear a lot of movement, a lot of commotion. I could hear glass breaking in the background. I assumed it was for a fire extinguisher or something." And Frank said, "I know you know this, but I need to tell you. Promise me you tell Zoe and Garrett every day for the rest of their lives how much their papa loves them." He says, "But right now I need your help. You need to call 911. You need to tell them that we're trapped on the 87th floor and there's a lot of us here." So he hung up the phone, and that's the last time that we spoke.
Before the end of this hour, the photographer who took photos, which many found to be too disturbing, the falling man. And coming up next, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. He lost friends in the Pentagon that day as well. I want his take on the lessons of 9/11 and Afghanistan. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before, and been a long time, and glad to have him back on board. First of all, Semper Fi, sir.
Hey, Semper Fi. Thanks so much. Always a blessing to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. I know you recall where you were 9/11.
Pentagon. Yeah. So. Right. Yeah, I was assigned to the Pentagon. I was a major at the time, and on that day, I was a Marine Corps major. I was a Marine Corps military assistant to the director, 80-year-old guy, a national treasure of a small think tank that supported the Secretary of Defense. And I had accompanied him that morning out of the building to a meeting downtown D.C. We had just gotten started. Assistant comes in, ended the meeting. We were all evacuated to the street. And you could see smoke rising from the Pentagon, you know, just across the city. And so I walked him to his apartment over by the Watergate complex, make sure he was safe. And then, you know, with 100,000 other people walked out of the city because everything was shut down. And my vehicle was in the Pentagon South parking lot. You just couldn't get to that thing. So it was loved ones trying to find each other. Wife came, you know, picked me up. And, you know, we were able to get home and then back into the Pentagon the next day. And, you know, just the debris and acrid smoke and first responders and the whole thing. It was a heck of a day.
And you obviously knew some of those who were lost that day.
Yeah. Yeah. The office that I had been in just 6 months earlier was right across the Pentagon on the side that the building hit. And that office space was, you know, almost thrown up into the air. And a lot of my colleagues, you know, through that smoke, were able to get into a stairwell area and get down to a floor or two below and get some of the people out of the rubble. Down another layer or two was the Navy intelligence bases, and that was completely destroyed. Everybody was killed. And we had a member or two from our church that had worked in that space. So, you know, there was some personal connections there. On the flight line of the plane, if it had nosed up just a degree, it would have hit my old office and then continued on through that inner courtyard, hit the office that I currently worked in at that time. And 6 months earlier, I had been on the top floor of World Trade Center 1, you know, at a conference right. In the Windows of the World restaurant. So, yeah. You know, it's you can't predict these things. You know, it's timing. You know, where were you at a specific minute on the morning of that particular event? And, you know, if a meeting hadn't been scheduled, would have been in the building. I mean, you just can't predict.
Right.
So I think, you know, faith wise, a willingness to contribute, to do what you can, you just have to, you know, kind of live that every day.
Let me go through several questions here with you. First of all, I've never asked you this directly. Your mm-hmm. response to those who believe there was no plane that hit the Pentagon and the buildings at World Trade Center were imploded.
Yeah.
It was all part of some conspiracy. It had nothing to do with planes being carried out by hijackers. Your response?
No, I think the legitimacy of the terrorist attack hijacking planes is irrefutable. I mean, it's part of the record. There, you know, to say that there is a conspiracy afoot, that all of it was manufactured, you would have to believe that thousands of people are involved in that conspiracy. You know, and I knew people who were directly involved in the investigation afterwards. A friend of mine, again from church, he was an FBI agent, Bob Roth, ended up succumbing to cancer some years ago that was probably picked up from some of the toxic fumes inside the Pentagon. He was one of the first to go into that building to figure out what was going on. You know, so you get, you know, part of the plane debris and the wreckage. You see the, you know, video footage, eyewitness accounts of what occurred in New York City. analysis that has occurred of how the buildings collapsed in New York and seeing the damage at the Pentagon. It couldn't have been an inside job, you know, charges set. How would you go about doing that? So I think the conspiracy side just doesn't have any substance to it. This was an attack propagated by Al-Qaeda. And, you know, the United States did what it did to seek revenge on
them. You know, to that extent, I absolutely, you're being more patient and holding back your remarks because it pisses me off every time I hear those kinds of things. All right, going on a couple of other things. Quickly, we did learn that we had intel, but we weren't sharing, and we decided the agencies need to share. Have we made improvements on that level, or are we beginning to isolate and silo again?
Well, so the answer is both, yes to that, that we did make advances. You know, there were protections put into law that keep intelligence services from conducting surveillance on U.S. citizens. We don't want the government spying on our own people. And so something like the CIA that does foreign can't share information directly with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, you know, or local law enforcement, to keep that separation. That caused problems. And that if you get wind of some kind of planning done by a foreign terrorist organization and you're tracking the electronic communications and the phone calls and those sorts of things, and all of a sudden it comes up with a conversation connected to an American citizen, well, they have to stop that. You know, so how do you overcome that? So the Patriot Act and some other things was meant to create a system whereby these different agencies could share information. But people being people, that is always abused.
I was just going to say, the abuse is there. Well, very quickly, I don't want to get sidetracked too far.
Right.
But the Liberty Bank vault giving out customers' code numbers, the FBI apparently calling the Liberty Bank Liberty vault safe. People say, and we want the numbers how to get in the safe. And they said they had a search warrant. I don't know if they served it or not. But, I mean, it is that kind of thing that where are they overstepping? We know through FISA warrants how many events were lied about. So where do we put a stop to that and yet protect our country?
Well, the American public has to get outraged at some level, you know. And so many commentators, I'm sure you've done this as well, have pointed out the inequity in how our government has responded to rioters in the wake of the George Floyd, you know, death, where we had looters just burning down cities during that hot summer a couple of years ago. Right. Nobody arrested, and yet you have people who are animated about how the election results were coming out, you know, with the Trump administration and all that stuff. And many of them were exercising their First Amendment protected rights, right? Now, if you decide to breach the Capitol building and punch police officers and do those sorts of things, well, then, you know, you're running the risk of being arrested.
And I agree with that.
But 1,000 people or 1,200, well, and police showing up and handcuffing,
right,
you know, a spouse and just brutalizing American citizens.
Just because they saw pictures of them walking through the rotunda.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
absolutely,
I'm sorry I'm rushing you a little bit. I'm trying to match my... There's a Netflix special that's out. I just started watching a part of it called Special Ops or Black Ops. And the first story deals with our response after the World Trade Center was to get a team inside Afghanistan with some people we already knew and then to make way for, you know, eventually to get additional in. Afghanistan, of course, was supposedly not going to last forever. And we knew it. Trump had announced to go pull it out. But then when we did leave, What did we tell the world and for those who still want to carry out terrorist attacks?
Yeah, so you can have a really good idea at the front. How you execute it, things can end horribly. So about a week or so after the 9/11 attacks, I was sent down with a few other people to U.S. Central Command at McNeil Air Force Base in Florida, and I was among the lead planners for the operations that went on into Afghanistan. So I was behind the green door and working in classified spaces, and I know for a fact that all of these factors were accounted for in getting teams into Afghanistan, working with the Northern Alliance, and making it possible to break open the cordon created by the Taliban to get Al-Qaeda. Now, once you're on the ground, okay, as a country, now you start thinking, oh, well, what else can I do? We don't want Afghanistan to be a sanctuary for terrorists, So how about if we change the nature of the government so that it's more favorable to the United States and it prevents future problems from happening? Then you get this mission creep. Then you have to deal with cultural differences. You know, how do you get into some of these distant valleys where they don't educate their, and you know, girls?
And their own war, and their own warlords against each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, it's the nature of human beings that once you get into a situation, now things are possible that weren't beforehand. And it takes an extraordinary amount of self-discipline to keep from going down the path can get very ugly. You think to George H.W. Bush, and Desert Shield and Desert Storm in 90 and 91, right? That once the Iraqis had been kicked out of Kuwait and the Iraqi military had been defeated, George H.W. Bush withdrew our forces from Iraq and didn't try to upend the Saddam Hussein government and the other things. He said, we did what we came to do, and we're not going to take that any further. He was subject to a lot of criticism, but it was an amazing amount of self-control and self-discipline. And our government agencies just don't seem to exercise that very often.
Now, some final points here. President Biden, of course, is honoring 9/11 in Alaska. I'm not going to get into that issue. But what he did say in Hanoi, and he's saying, we're not looking to hurt China. We're all better off if China does well. Your reaction, I can already hear.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So he is thinking that they are a great economic partner, and if we can just get all the big boys like Russia and China and Brazil and others to all march down the same path, wouldn't that benefit everybody, right? Trade, ability to sell products to markets, you know, access to a billion people, all that stuff. But he's ignoring the nature of these regimes. The Chinese Communist Party operates a surveillance state. They want control and domination. They don't want to be, you know, a free market, republic, you know, a democratic institution that preserves liberty and freedom of religion and alternative points of view. So he's, I don't know if he is also smoking dope or he's just so addled, you know, in his brain because of age or whatever that is.
So you say we're not going to all be better off if China does well.
No, absolutely not. They will use that as they have done throughout their history to gain advantage. And they want to see everybody else as a junior partner, which means a submissive partner.
Right. Good point. As always, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, I appreciate your insight, sir.
Thanks. God bless, my friend.
God bless you, and thank you for your service to our country, sir. That's always amazing discussion. Coming up, more on 9/11, and the photographer who got criticized for one photo, the falling man. And what should be shown on TV now, 22 years later? Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Minutes after the attack, it was pandemonium in Lower Manhattan.
Grab your guy and get him out.
As the fires raged on the upper floors, glass, twisted metal, and airplane parts hurtled to the ground below. We watched helplessly as office workers, desperate to escape the choking smoke, hung from their windows on the 90th floor. At the time, no one expected the towers to collapse.
This is as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
Everyone ran for their lives into the lobby of an office building across the street. Firefighter Louis Caccioli of Engine 47 barely made it out alive.
As we came downstairs, we were just dragging people along with us. And then when we came outside, it just blew, the tower blew, and I found a mask on the floor as I was crawling. And I was lucky to make it out here.
Go, go!
Nearby hotels were evacuated as it became clear that the North Tower would collapse. And within minutes, there was another huge blast.
Oh my God, there it goes!
This time, we ran for a nearby parking garage to escape the approaching cloud of dust and debris. Seconds later, the World Trade Center was gone.
Gone. And I will tell you, and I've told you before if you've listened to the program in the past, on that day, my first knowledge of 9/11, it came from a phone call from my daughter, who lives in the St. Louis area. And she said, Dad, a plane is at the World Trade Center. Now, at that time, she was obviously a few minutes after the first had hit. And I was thinking, well, how did that happen? You know, I didn't know. She indicated it's a large plane. I'm thinking, is it a passenger plane? I turn on the TV, and I see clear blue skies and smoke pouring from the first tower. And I'm thinking, how could that happen? It officially happened at 8:46 Eastern Time. And I'm now watching around 9 o'clock, and I'm looking at 9 o'clock Central Time, or Eastern, that would be 8 o'clock Central Time, and I'm looking, and I'm still thinking, how would that happen? Listening to reports, and some of the reporters were not sure, was it a plane, or was it an explosion, or did the plane get off course or something, and then I see the second plane hit, and then I know we're under attack. So there's a rush to get down to the station, TV station, in St. Louis. Not anything I could do other than help follow and feed information because we're going to rely primarily on those on the scene. But I do know in going down, I'm listening to a radio report, and the reporter is talking about the tower collapsed. The tower collapsed! And I'm thinking, this is a sensational story. On its merits, you don't need some goofball reporter making up saying collapse. Collapse means the whole building came down. Well, when I got to the newsroom and walked in, I walked in just as the second tower collapsed. I could not imagine that it fully came down. So the reporter was correct in the description, and I was wrong in making an assumption that he was exaggerating. All of us were in shock that day, were we not? I'm sure you remember where you were, and maybe you were just barely enough to know about it, or maybe you weren't. And maybe you had young kids at that time. And maybe you wanted them to see some of this, then again, you didn't. Then what happens with an event like this, there are the anniversary events that come up. In television news, it's network and our cable and radio and print. It is almost standard that there will be a one-year anniversary edition, marking 1 year ago. And then it might be put on the back burner until the fifth year edition, and then the 10th. And I can abide and accept that general standard, but with this particular thing, what became apparent to me after the first anniversary edition, I was already having to battle with some of the news execs who didn't want too much shown, not too much as it were, just more distant shots, and certainly don't show the plane crashing into the building. Well, I won out that year. But as we moved forward in every 9/11, I wanted to make sure we got a story on and recaptured some of that, because some had been too young to see and know and understand it, and others needed to be reminded, in my view. But gradually what happened was it was sanitized. By the fifth year, less and less video of the planes crashing in were seen, and less video of the buildings collapsing. When you see the plane strike the building, in that instant, lives are lost, be they on the plane or in the office where it hit. And then when the building's coming down, everyone still inside is lost in most cases, if not 90%+ of them. Very few survivors came out. And those who were on the streets, they were trying to escape from debris falling and the dust that was overwhelming them, choking them off. I mean, people were covered in concrete dust. Basically, being buried alive in the street if they continued to stand there, if they weren't killed. I still have a problem with some of the way the networks will be covering it and others. If they're not showing the impact and the horror, that should be re-emphasized over and over again. We do know that looking back on Pearl Harbor, gradually it's been lessened, but it's also a distance in time that folks are more willing to accept it and let it play now than maybe they did in the beginning. Same thing with the assassination of President Kennedy and the pictures of Jackie trying to crawl over the back of the Secret Service card of the service, Secret Service man running to their aid. Now that's almost become standard. I do worry that if we don't constantly make note of this day and take time to at least reflect on it, whether you're a praying person or not, I'd encourage that as well. But I want the younger generation to know, not to form enemies with other people, but to realize the sanctity of our country and the lives that were lost. And I'm afraid way too often now we're willing to just kind of pass 9/11 by as just another day. It is not another day, any more than December 7 is another day. But as those who were directly associated with December 7 and lived during that time are no longer with us, it is diminished. JFK's assassination the same way. And as we move forward from 9/11 with generations to come, it will again be diminished. I'm sure of it. But for now, let's try to keep it alive and keep reminding people. Now, we're talking about how the TV will sanitize some images that you will not see again unless you go really deep diving and looking for them. And now, of course, most often they're on YouTube and so forth. But it's not presented for general consumption. And there is then the story of the Associated Press photographer, Richard Drew. He had worked for the Associated Press for 4 decades or better. And he had always said, I need to be at the right time of a picture, the right time. It can't be too early or I'll miss it, too late I'll miss it. He got to the World Trade Center hours, or not hours, but for several minutes after it already started. He'd catch a subway and get down to that part of the island. But when he got there, he just started snapping pictures. And one of them was called The Falling Man, and he was questioned about that. That story, some say, and photos were too vivid.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When you made the Falling Man picture, did you know that you had done something extraordinary?
I didn't take the picture. The camera took the picture of the falling man. And when these people were falling, I would then put my finger on the trigger of the camera, and I'd hold the camera up, and I'd photograph and follow them going down. And then the camera would open and close and take the pictures that they were going down. I have, I think, 8 or 9 frames of this gentleman falling. And the camera just happened to cycle in that time when he was completely vertical. I didn't see that picture really until I got back to the office and then started looking at my stuff on my laptop. I didn't see it.
Were you scared when you were making pictures on the day you were at the World Trade Center?
Not really, because it's interesting that his camera is a filter for me. I didn't know that the first building had collapsed, because I'm looking at it through a telephoto lens, and I'm only seeing a piece of whatever's going on.
Drew's image, which came to be known as the Falling Man, appeared in a number of newspapers the next day. Many people found the lonesome vision too shocking.
It was shocking for many, and there are a series of him in different positions. Now, to this date, they've never identified who he is. They don't know if he fell while searching for safety or if he chose to jump rather than die by fire inside the building at the time. Sir Elton John purchased that collection of photos. He said, I did it because I'm captured by the all of the event and the moment, not the value. So he has the originals, I guess, but for some, seeing the body hurling through the air, splayed out, then upside down and twisting, and then going straight down, and then flipping again. And it's not clear if the man was trying to contort himself or just the fall itself was doing. But as I said, no one has ever identified who he was. If they have, they had not made it public, which is certainly a family's prerogative. And again, it's still not clear if he did jump or if he was trying to get to safety and lost his grip. We do know there were others who did jump. They were falling onto the lower levels below. Firemen were hearing thuds. They thought it were pieces of the building coming down or the parts of the plane. There were in fact bodies falling, and they had to be aware in the street near there that they might be hit by debris, and then realizing in some cases it was a body, and in those cases those folks were jumping. They considered that a better option than dying in the flames. What it would take to press someone to that point, you can't imagine unless you're there. Every time I see that picture of the falling man, and I've seen pictures of others as well, you You have to keep in mind, if they chose to die that way, it was their choice once they were faced with the situation. Others inside were trying to get down. If there was no fire below them, they were trying to make their way down through stairwells. And in some cases, were using elevators, which they were told don't use. But one guy did go down and with some of his team, and he was going to leave. They said, you know what, we're told we can go back. The Port Authority said, everything's good. You can stay at this tower, too. Hadn't been hit yet. This building is stable. You can go back up. And he said, I hesitated. Everybody in the elevator is looking at me. What's wrong? Why, you afraid? Come on, let's go back up. Well, of course, he survived and others didn't. We're going to have more on 9/11 coming up in our second hour. You don't want to miss it. Also, New York City Mayor Eric Adams now being accused of channeling Donald Trump for his recent rant over illegals. And PETA says milk is a symbol of white supremacy. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.